ladies and gentlemen. This is Keith Coogan, and I'm joined here by the wonderful Earl Skakel.
Yo, yo, yo.
Thank you for tuning into the call sheet. Appreciate it. Oh my gosh, can you believe the excitement of the Hunger Games?
I don't even know what that movie's about.
They're coming. It's about a society where supplies are sparse. And civilizations, different neighborhoods, districts, arrondissements, battle annually for food. And so they have this huge show to it. Think, you know, Running Man and think Richard Dawson, if you will.
Such a good movie.
Oh, I know.
I thought it was about...
Actually, it really was.
Oh,
bastardization of the Stephen King story, but a good, you know, piece of art on its own right.
And I must say, I thought Yaphet Kotto was vastly underutilized.
All of the bad guys, all of the murderers were great. They were like wrestling
The big Japanese
characters.
Guy and Jesse Ventura and who else was it?
Get to the chopper. I'll break your neck like a chicken's.
Yeah, sure. I'll be back. I mean, they must have been real thin on the script supervising.
So... classic 80s-esque cinema. But, I don't know if the Hunger Games, though, is on track to make the money. And that's where today's market is, you know, 14-year-old girls. And, well, hey, 14 to 50-year-old girls, then, you know, let's see if they can find a date in a few years. But am I bagging on the Hunger Games body? I don't know. Is it directed towards me? No. So
you're
being cruel.
I thought it was about supermodels, so,
you know. The Hunger Games.
I thought maybe...
Give her a sandwich.
All right. Let's see who throws up the quickest. You get a contract with Elle if you do.
We're going to put 8 lines of Coke in the middle of the room.
That's where we're heading. I mean, look at Fear Factor.
Oh, we're totally heading there.
We're there, actually.
The Fear Factor had the... Donkey semen episode that they yanked and didn't air because everybody was like, that's pretty disgusting. And,
I watched it. My friend works on the show. He's like, here, you can't give this to anyone. And what people don't realize is not only did they have to drink donkey semen, but they had to wash it down with a urine chaser.
Yeah. That's absolutely disgusting, but would be good TV.
Well, they should have saved that stunt for Porn Star Week because those girls would have done it without a blink. Donkey semen. I just had a double team with Mandingo and Lexington Steel. Which is basically, I mean...
They can't let the line be blurred. They have to keep porn and good family entertainment separate. But it's titillating. All the reality shows, whether people are beating each other or racing or lying to each other... forming packs and groups and alliances and then having ejections and, you know.
I just want good TV, man. Give me Miami Vice, a good script. I don't want to see Survivor or, you know, The Celebrity Apprentice, you know. I mean, we grew up in a golden era, All in the Family. MASH. Now it's Nip Tuck and Survivor. You know, wherever they are this year.
Now, Nip Tuck, though, I don't know if you ever watched it. It was so out there that it was pretty interesting television.
I thought every
case
season.
After case, and not only were the doctors twisted themselves, but of course, all their patients had a lot of great needs. Nip Tuck was a good show for 2-3 seasons at least.
I think most shows
jump the shark
after the season 3 because that's when, as you know more than I do, money's being made. Oh. And so I think people start wondering, well, let's move on to the next project. So the show kind of gets not abandoned, but maybe not as much attention.
They're out of every challenge that they've resolved in 23 minutes. And the shows do run into the ground, but if they're still making money... And to call it and go, oh, we're, you know, finally pulling the plug is tough on everybody. Everyone likes a check.
Oh, sure. I mean, my friend was Billy Gardell. He was on that show Heist, and he said they're filming episode 5, and the executives pulled up and pulled the plug right there. It was only a 6-episode show. The big cliffhanger was episode 6, and I just said, oh, forget it. We're done.
On occasion, I've worked on shows that had already been given their death knell, and they knew it. And you're on the set, and it's grim.
Right. Well, it's, you know, it's not just the actors, you know, it's everyone. Gaffers, from the lowest to the highest position.
Yeah, but they also, all of those guys, God bless them, and the, you know, the extra, like, fifth set they build each week, great. But the rest of the, you know, 80% of the work, it's lit, it's done. They stand in the same place, they say the same jokes. Even the writers are bored with, you know, everything after that. That's why you go on to the, you know, the Paris episode or the very special, you know, bulimia episode. That's why the shows do jump the shark or bring in a new character to sauce it up. And that's when, you know, viewers abandon ship. Only the delusional do hang around.
Well, that's me. I'm the guy who's watching Miami Vice season 5. What's going on here, man?
See, this is what Netflix is great for, because you could be like, you know, I never did see that show, and I can go back and watch it all in one horrible 48-hour weekend.
See, that's how you got to watch 24. You watch it in one sitting each season, so you...
Oh, God, how exhausting.
It's exhausting, but you get how Jack Bauer's thinking, because you're with him.
Oh, I'm sure they have 24 marathons. Fans, because when Twin Peaks, which was a brilliant show, I remember friends had Twin Peaks parties with pie, damn fine coffee, and we'd play Twin Peaks games.
That was a great show. And bring a show like that back instead of America's Top Model or Last Comic Standing. This reality is, it's not reality. Gene Simmons' Family Jewels.
Well, Last Comic Standing's great for, and I know there's, you know, obviously seasoned people that you see in Last Comic Standing. You're like, wait a second, I've seen a damn special that you've done. And here you are in last, you know, pretending kind of to be walking in the door of a club on an open call. But it's for everybody, I guess, to be fair.
And not it is, really.
It is a level playing field in that it's all just the one person, you know, they're there. The actor, the writer, the performer, the director, the editor, it's all about the comic. Very hard. I have great respect for comics because that's one thing I cannot even fathom doing, standing there alone on stage. That's it. It's with tough. A bunch of eating, drunken people, you know, that entertain me.
Yeah. Monkey, put the ball on your nose and dance. But I can't do what you do. I'd be petrified to read lines with all those people. You know, you've been in some big films, man. To me.
Okay. Well, but then maybe, you know, do you get nervous when you go on stage? Do you get butterflies or...
Both.
You know, if something doesn't turn right in the first minute, and you're like, uh-oh, my rhythm's all shot. They're not with me. Fuck, I'm going to have to start attacking them now. I mean, but how do you...
It depends on the situation. Usually it takes me a few minutes... It takes the crowd a few minutes to get my sense of humor. It's very dry and sarcastic. And, you know, if they're like, say, Dane Cook fans, who's great, you know, he's the complete opposite. You know, he's like jumping around, making a funny face, crawling on the floor, making a funny noise. And so you have to work a lot harder if the crowd is the complete opposite of your style. You know.
Do you ask them to invest in you and lean in? And
you know, I'm pretty likable, so you don't have too many problems with crowds. Some may take a little while to get the references, especially young crowds. When I do a Cobra joke, they're like, what's Cobra? Who's Stallone? Who's Rat? I mean, you think an 18-year-old knows who the group Rat is? So that can get a little awkward.
It Rat's huge.
And you know, they had a nice run, and they're still touring. I opened up for him once. It was kind of sad. But
did you see any? Was it just typical shenaniganery around a rock show like that, or how did the rock crowds take it? Were you a comic, or were you?
I was doing comedy.
You're doing comedy,
and opening comedy and music don't mix. You know, they want to see Rat. They don't want to hear some guy doing jokes about, you know, Bush or whatever. They want to see Stephen Piercy sing live. And you haven't lived till you've heard Stephen Piercy sing live. It's a real eye-opener. I mean, he's not Pavarotti.
For those out there on some sort of Perez Hilton or something like that, they did have a top 10 rock songs of all, and Rat was like number 4 on there.
Oh, Round and Round.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, they got lucky because they put Milton Berle in their videos.
Right. Uncle Milty. Mm. Probably the same manager.
Yeah, that's how they had...
Yeah, he's like, nah, hold on, I can get you Milton Berle. Really? We're Rat. No, Milty's coming to the set.
And he was great in both videos. Yeah. He's like totally made the video.
Oh, and Milton Berle's genius. He's like, of course I'll do it. I've heard this M, this T, this V. I got to try this.
Well, they made bands like Rat. You know, now they don't play videos, so... Now they, you know, Jersey Shore, and they'll do like literally a 20-second video clip. So, yeah.
The new launch of music is the Apple ad, or the end credits bump. You know,
right.
I learned about one frickin' band because of MTV, and they did. It was like the music in this episode has been brought to you by, and then at the end they straight up just did a music video, and like Pam Anderson's in it. I don't know, better than trying to sneak it in. I don't mind if they're blatant.
I just want videos. But I'm a weird guy.
Do you like the November Rain type story, epic crane shots? Do you like videos that are like live performances, like Van Halen or something? Or
you know, what I loved about the 80s videos, especially for the metal bands, is they didn't match up with the song. Like, it was just such a gratuitous waste of money. You know, like, Dokken will be playing in a lumber yard, and at the end of the video, a helicopter comes up behind them. Had nothing to do with the song, nothing to do with anything. It's just, let's put a helicopter in the end. That had to cost $20,000, you know, just to rent a helicopter. Why not? We're Dokken.
Set off some fire and some explosions.
Yeah, it's a ballad. There's none of this stuff going on.
Billy Idol had a couple of good videos, and Armageddon, Duran Duran. They would always some good stuff.
The Cars.
They
were legendary for their videos, and you know who else?
And they also there were albums at the time to back up, not just a single, but they were deep. Cuts on those albums.
Oh my
Cars, God. For Christ's sakes.
I love them.
Pick up that album and listen to it.
Their first album, there's not, even if you don't like that kind of music, there's not one bad song on it. Mm-hmm. I just saw them at the Palladium a couple months ago, and it was pretty amazing. They don't move around a lot, but that was like the big draw against them was they're pretty bad live. They're just musicians.
They don't dance around like David Byrne or anything.
Yeah, they're not like the drummer from Pat Benatar, who's like standing and like doing all these octopus movements. They just play. They don't move an inch.
I want a drum riser that comes right down stage on pneumatic presses and goes up in the air and spins around. Can I have that?
Well, you can see it this summer with Motley Crue.
Yeah. All of the Van Halen's touring. Yeah. Crew is touring.
I just saw Kiss this week. They played Jimmy Kimmel, and wow, what an experience that was! Just to walk through that crowd, it was like driving through Modesto. It's just a lot of receding hairlines and a lot of bellies. I mean, I thought I was looking at a Hair Club for Men yearbook. I mean, it's a lot of bad hairlines there. And more bellies at a hog auction. I mean, it was just like, wow. I think you could count the gym memberships on one hand.
What did the men look like?
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Kiss, you know, I gotta say, Gene and Paul look really good for their age. To be wearing Speedos, one-piece unitards. I'm sure their boner bulges are on their hip, but, you know, God knows what I would look like at 60.
There was the reality show, Gene Simmons lost his bag, and he's freaking out. Finally, they pull it in, and he's like, I've got 20 minutes to the show, whatever. He opens his case, thump, 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 in, ready, done.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to go kick some ass.
I don't know how they walk around in those boots. And Paul prances around.
You know. Now that's a show. That's part of the show.
Yeah. I don't think you go to Kiss for music. Like Cars, you might go there and say, oh, I want to critique the guitar playing.
I'm not going to go watch Tom Petty because he's going to start dancing with coordinated and all these, you know, oiled up dancers. And
yeah, no.
That's not. You may go see Lady Gaga for that.
Hey, I liked Lady Gaga when she was called Missing Persons. I mean, it was a little borrowing, I think, is going on there.
Whoa, who's more a ripoff artist? Lenny Kravitz on Let Love Rule, which felt like a John Lennon session. Sorry, it did. Or Lady Gaga.
I mean, if you go back and watch, say, Missing Persons Words video, mm-hmm. and you turn the sound off and show it to kids, they'll be like, that's Lady Gaga. I mean, at least give her a little credit, or take Missing Persons out on tour, throw them a bone, something.
Like when the Poker Face video had come out, some of Nicki Minaj's fans were saying that Lady Gaga had bit Nicki Minaj's the bangs, the blonde bangs.
I mean, I'm delving out of my territory with Nicki Minaj's.
You're going out of your territory.
I like Lady Gaga, though. I like how she pays tribute to the older artists like Clarence mm-hmm. Clemens.
They have a mashup online with the Madonna Express Yourself and the Lady Gaga song. Born This Way. So you can play them together. And
right.
They've synced up just beautifully.
Well, you know, probably every band steals. I mean, Kiss has been known to take a riff here and there. So, especially like Gene would produce these bands that never made it. So.
I hate people that sue for like a chord change. Like a, you know.
It's tough though.
Suing, I think Tom Petty got sued for Last Dance with Mary Jane, or there's been plenty of and I know Rolling Stones had sued for
a lot of blues artists should sue Zeppelin.
That's what I'm saying. There's
Everyone steals.
Yeah, we have a caller.
Uh-oh.
Would like to take this caller and thank you for listening to the call sheet. Thanks for calling in. I didn't even mention the number, so how can we help you?
Sure. Are you there?
Yeah.
We can hear you. Can you hear me now?
Good. Yeah, I can hear you guys. Hey, listen, can you guys confirm if Kirk Cameron's married to Joe Rogan?
Jesus.
Yes.
I'll hang up
a minute. It's a secret ceremony in Carmel.
Well, I mean, I've never heard that rumor, but anything's possible.
And we've lost the caller. Thank you, caller. That's it? That's all I get is Kirk Cameron.
Married to Joe Rogan.
No, but Keanu Reeves and was it Geffen?
Yeah.
Ceremony, they said. That was a rumor that was going around.
Well, if you're going to marry a guy, Geffen would be the guy. I mean, right? I mean,
yeah.
I would marry him in a second.
That was, if someone would like to call in that doesn't just dump an absurd question, 800-893-9562. We were talking about, anything you like. Hunger Games is the movie of the weekend. If you've seen it, call in. I need to hear your opinion. I haven't read the book. I haven't seen it. Whether you're a fan, whether you're just annoyed by the complete saturation on every TV channel, every building.
It's a lot.
For Hunger Games. Every website, every banner ad, everything. Front page of Yahoo. Oh, she's talking about being in the movie.
I mean, I don't... it can't be that good of a movie, though, if they released it now.
All of these multi-million dollar ad campaigns are so similar. The same fuzzy, soft filter lit, you know, really soft pieces where they pre-shoot all the stuff and just hand out media packages. You right. see those roll out for a few weeks. To the radio ads, you know, the TV has TV spots. They could be around an event like a Super Bowl or something. Olympics. Oh my God, they're premiering, you know, the trailer. Although I'm excited about Prometheus. Sorry. And then I get caught up in it too. Sometimes when it's just right, just subtle enough, like we released it and the fans took it and spread right. it. And I heard about something through a friend, not from these blinking billboards on, you know, Melrose.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, I'm trying to watch it. I'm like, is it going to go back to that? I didn't see what time, what night that was on. So I'm waiting for the third ad. Right. I'm like driving slower just to crane up. Those are a bad idea. They tried to add like outlaw them.
Well, they have that one on, where is it? La Cienega in Venice. I've literally stopped on a green light and just waited for my ad to come back. Pissed off a lot of people behind me. I saw one for Expendables 2. I'm like, when's it coming out? I'm going to wait.
Dangerous, man. Don't like the big ads, but they were also trying to find the guys that did the big displays down in downtown here. The huge side of the building right. ones, they're like, I don't know, huge fines, and they're making arrests and trying to show the city's all boss in this. And he was like, I was paid, I was commissioned to do this.
Well, they had one of Shaq when he was here, and it was, Jesus. You really don't want his image on a life-size billboard. I mean, it's pretty impressive.
That is a video game right there.
I mean, but yeah, I mean, it's... Driving's dangerous enough. You don't need, like, basically TV on the, you know, up in these billboards.
Yeah.
Oh, Hell's Kitchen's on again? Oh, what? Now, that show I watch. I do watch Hell's Kitchen.
Hell's Kitchen's great. Kitchen Nightmares is tough because often we'll sit down and watch them eating. I have an hour, 2 hours to check something out on the internet. Go to Hulu and I've seen the, you know, Hell's Kitchen, where it's not in season. Kitchen Nightmares, because I just love watching Gordon Ramsay scream at people. What? All right, get on with it. Go on.
Green boogers kill people. What are you doing?
What? You're going to kill someone with this?
See, I think Kitchen Nightmares might be fake, though, because there's no way a restaurant is going to have rats running around the kitchen or you know, feces of... cats, and I mean, there's just no way.
Yeah, there is. They pay for all that sweet new shit. They get ovens and freezers and cleanup jobs and a remodel job, all paid for by the show. They're like, fine, that was old management. We fired him. Welcome to Mitzi's. You know, and now it's a great new spot, and we've done a catch-up episode, and you know, it's beautiful, it's fun, come down, and what a deal. So of course they're going to do that. Fuck, that stuff's expensive.
Oh, I know. Listen, but you know, I went to eat at Hell's Kitchen once. I said, he can't be like this.
Where is that actual set? Is it in Century City?
It's in Culver City.
It's in Culver City.
And it's like off of Jefferson somewhere.
Okay. Is it adjacent to a studio? Is it part of a studio? Is it on a studio lot or is it on the regular public?
I think it's adjacent to a studio, but it's not directly on the lot.
Interesting.
It seemed like there were a lot of big warehouse type of buildings, and this was one of them. I had to go.
What's the experience like? How long did you wait? Did you get food? Did you eat? Or did you go like, this is bullshit, I'm out?
Well, my girlfriend knew the casting director, so we were the first table served. So we got everything, but there were definitely tables that didn't get food. And he really is like that. I thought this got to be for the cameras. But when the cameras were off, he's yelling at them. He's kind of a dick. But I guess that's his shtick.
That's how he runs five-star hotel restaurants and keeps on top of it, I guess.
But that show doesn't...
I want, how does he cook? How does he take the shit I got in my fridge, eggs and salt and pepper and this and that? How does he make scrambled freaking eggs in the morning, you know? And
right.
He Can he possibly make them that much better than anybody else so that he doesn't taste my eggs and go, oh, it's utter crap.
Right. You know.
Sometimes, oh, I love it when he fakes them out. He'll take a bite. He'll be like, really? This is what you served me? Okay, I'll take a bite. Oh, you chose to do this and put that sauce on top of this. Brilliant, really genius. Good job. All right, stand back in line. We have a caller. Thanks for calling into the call sheet. How can we help you?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Absolutely awesome. How's it going?
Yep. You know, the only show I actually got on easier than this was Sean Hannity's. I'm sorry. No, but guys, can you confirm the rumor that they're actually serving Andrew Breitbart tacos at the Westwood Baja Fresh?
Who is this guy? That's terrible.
I don't go to the Westwood Baja Fresh.
The caller's gone. Thanks for calling in.
Well, it seems like...
They're bringing great material, so I don't think there's a need to screen this caller.
I think it's the same
Breitbart
guy.
It's so funny. I read all sorts of... the whole spectrum. I'll be on news aggregators that are left, right, up, down. They're just weird stories, mostly involving squirrels. So I'll be on something that I'll look up. I'll read something kind of iffy or very non-objective in the article. I'll look up and it'll be... From Breitbart.
Oh, he's everywhere.
They're like, oh, that's what survey? I don't see any notes, no annotations, no references. Three paragraphs is the whole story.
Well, who wants to know if it's real or not? People just...
At least Drudge Report can make my heart beat in one red headline.
Oh, if I see the siren on Drudge, my heart stops.
Oh, I know. The siren on Drudge means we found documentation. Someone's going down.
Drudge is, you know... I wish he was back on
radio. That means a state has been wiped out by a natural disaster. Yeah, a siren on Drudge Report and you're boned.
Oh, now if you sign up to his Twitter, which I'm assuming is just at Matt Drudge, you get the little siren in your tweet and you're like, I gotta go to Drudge.
Drudge Report, you're not, you know, necessarily right wing, left wing, it doesn't matter. Drudge Report is about intercepting news stories, much the way that Perez Hilton... has been known to do, his relationship with the journalists and stringers and people, and he knows the way that the stories get in through them, and he somehow interdicts them and intercedes them and breaks stories before they're edited, before they're developed. So they'll, you know, have information that I've read the stories later when all the dust is settled, and I'm like, I didn't see that person was arrested or for that, you know.
Oh, I love him. I mean, you know, I liked his radio show.
He told the world that Bill Clinton got his dick sucked in the White House. That's all. That's everything everyone needs to know. You know, Drudge Report did get that huge initial boost in finding, and he's been on fire, probably the most watched, downloaded site. Now he cheats because DrudgeReport.com does reload the page every couple minutes.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, you cannot. Well, you do that, and it ups the page count, and you tell your advertisers, oh, but I guess maybe he's saying, look, you know, someone hasn't clicked on your ad in a minute or two, we'll refresh it, load a new ad.
Yeah, why not?
How much do you think he makes off of that thing? I mean, that's the one, they want to tax him. Countries want to tax Matt Drudge, calling it news aggregation tax. He's writing off of all these papers and, you know, all this revenue and advertising dollars go into these other papers and they make these, you know, money and the journalists do the work and then he just goes and he gets all the traffic. No, he's giving the traffic, you dumb. They don't understand the inner tubes yet.
He just links to everything.
Yeah, he goes here and then he crashes sites. They go to, you know, read it. And a million people go running to the site. Takes it down.
I like how he puts up unflattering pictures of like Pelosi or Obama, you know, and Santorum on the beach, you know, the most unflattering shot. It's front page on Drudge.
He did show a shot of Condoleezza Rice buying shoes on the Friday after Katrina.
Yeah.
Up in, I think she was in New York.
I mean, he's like
what? I didn't get a call from the office regarding that. Yeah. No, come on. Got to have people around you that are like, no, it's not a good idea to go out to that club tonight, dude.
You know, in theory, but you know, in this day and age of TMZ and stuff like that, it's
So do you want, that's the thing, is it seems like so many people open the door through scandal, you know, an arrest of this, a beat somebody, a reality show won.
Yeah.
And they make this, they're notorious, you know, and they come in through the reality show door. And the minute you see, you know, the first off-show interview, it's about branding and what they're doing next. And I was single and this and. I'm going to be in this magazine, and where's the nugget, the core? You know, that's that whole, all of that is supposed to service and advertise a product or something that's coming out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at that guy, Pauly D from the Jersey Shore. He's got his own show now.
And what do we get as club goers when he gets 10 grand to go to a club? Oh. You know, what are you at the club? You're like, oh, I was... Clubbing with Pauly D was great. Come on.
Listen, if I'm going to a club for Pauly D, I think it's time to go out Cobain style.
Fist pump.
Yeah, fist pump with a double, a barrel. I think Kurt Cobain.
Look at that, though. I mean, Mike, the situation, they said made $5 million last year just on being a douche on MTV. And in making club appearances and, you know, branding out, if you will.
That's crazy. I mean.
Just for the most base behavior.
Yeah, I mean, there's really, if you look at the Jersey Shore, what are any of their talents? You might say Pauly D's a good DJ.
Being shameless, maybe that's a talent unto itself.
In this era, it is. I mean, look at half the people on Celebrity Apprentice. Victoria Gotti. I mean, I know who her dad was, but, you know, when you have a show called Celebrity Whatever and you're getting on because your father was famous, I don't know if that's a celebrity. I mean, at least would I view a celebrity as. Like, to me, you're a celebrity.
Right.
You worked, you made...
No. She did the show, The Gaudis, and, you know, the family show. So she earned her own, right? Yes, of course, she got that show because of her father, but she had those cameras in her house and had to deal with notes from the producer, how to steer stories. And, oh, today we're going to dig up the yard and make a whole show about that. Okay, let me get my dress on. You know, that's work, Earl.
Oh, is it? I've never done
the yard. Did you see the Jessica Simpson, Nick Lachey reality show?
I saw bits and pieces of it.
It was inanity. It was him doing yard work and her buying purses.
I mean, she was so beautiful.
I watched every episode, but it was. I don't know. I'm simultaneously, I'm like, oh, that's all manipulative. And that's all. They just want us to buy that. And I'm like, oh, I'm holding it in my hand. I guess I blacked out. It was a fugue state. I don't remember buying this iPhone. And I fall for the worst of it. I fall for, you know, like the iPad or the iPhone. I'll fall for.
Oh, sure. You got to have the latest.
Like, I'm not falling for the phone. They subsidize and go, here's a free phone. Oh, yeah, the plan is like $5 a month. Here. I don't fall for those. I fall for the Cadillac phone, the Jesus phone.
It's technology. Who doesn't want an iPhone or an iPad now?
The government said they're very happy. There's a tech conference and... the CIA had mentioned they're very happy with everybody's mobile devices. They're like, oh, the listening, the tracking, the knowing, the watching, the seeing is a lot easier now that everybody's got one on them.
Oh, it's like iRobot, man. We're all being watched.
I did not see the iRobot.
Well, you know, it's basically everyone's watched. See, I don't have a problem being watched. I'm not doing anything wrong.
Doesn't everybody want to be watched? Maybe that's the meme they're implanting in us. Is, of course, you all want your own freaking reality show. They tried early in the late 90s. You had like 15 minutes. You remember the Robert De Niro movie? You had movies where Ed and, you know, real reality show kind of movies, SFW. And they were trying to implant the idea that we all wanted to have cameras on us all the time. We wanted, we were voyeurs, and we also want everyone else to be voyeuristic towards us.
In certain ways. I mean, would you ever do a reality show?
And all, I feel like doing a radio show weekly, you know, sharing an hour of my life, my time with my great fucking listeners. Thank you so much to everybody listening, by the way, right now.
Absolutely.
You're very special to me.
Especially to the guy who's called in twice.
You know that. I know. He should have like a two more drinks and call in again.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what his next question is going to be.
His next question could be, well, currently we ain't paid for by nobody.
Right.
We are no corporate bitches right now.
That's going to change, my friend.
That is, we will sell out the moment. Doesn't everybody want that? Doesn't everybody want to sell out?
Well, you know, ultimately you want to make money. I don't know if that's selling out. I mean, you know.
Yep.
I mean, I think sometimes like...
But the money is so you can get the security and the, you know, stability and the love and the, you know, things and the... Like the money is not the end all be all. It's that stuff you can get for the money.
Oh, absolutely.
But you can't... you can buy love, but it, you know, it's by the hour. We have a caller, and this time it's a different area code, so I pray. Oh, please, God, thank you. Hello, caller. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
Hi.
I was calling to talk about a reality show that I saw a few episodes of.
What reality show are you watching?
It's some strange little show called Pretty... Wait, here it is. It's kind of a weird show. It's Pretty Wild, and it's about three young girls that are trying to become famous, but one of the girls and their sisters, one of the girls is the robber that was robbing Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton and...
the burglar bunch.
I just heard a rumor that Sofia Coppola is doing a movie right now. It's shooting, and she's kind of capitalizing on these girls, and it's called The Bling Ring. You guys heard about this?
The Bling Ring. No, I haven't heard about this.
I have not heard. It must be obscure.
I was just talking about Sofia Coppola.
Yeah. So I guess, like, this girl wanted to be famous so bad or know what it's like to live like a celebrity. She would break into people's houses via Twitter. She'd figure out where they lived and what they're doing. She's from Calabasas. And she would see where Paris Hilton was. And then she'd know she was out of the house. And apparently she's like, well, she's stupid enough. I bet you she left the key of her house under her doormat. And she got a group of her friends, and they went over to Paris Hilton's house, figured out where she lives because of Twitter. And sure enough, Paris Hilton had left the key under her mat. And these kids broke in and pretended like they were Paris Hilton and partied in her house, did her coke.
No.
Are you one of the burglar bunch?
I guess that's when they started stealing and looting and robbing and stuff. And posting it on Facebook.
Oh, well, that's...
Do this behavior knowing, well, if I get caught, the worst thing is an entrance into notoriety. Is all of a sudden, yeah, I'm known. I get a reality show out of it.
Yeah, now they have this silly little reality show.
They're all sisters? The three of them are sisters?
Yeah,
and one of them has
like
a record.
19 years old. They're under 19.
Two sisters.
Okay. They're three sisters, and they're like lingerie models or something. And they have this momager that shops them around. This is the decline of civilization right here. They have this momager that shops around these young girls, and they're over sexualized. And they got six episodes of this silly reality show, and you know they're trying to become famous. So in the midst of all this, that's when one of them robs Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan and all that.
Yeah, but it's on E. I mean, they pretty much put anything on E.
Yeah, it's dreadful, but I'm kind of following it because I find it interesting that Sofia Coppola is doing a movie on it, and it'll be interesting to see her take on what the youth of today is like, this like fame obsessed, you know.
Right. And it's like a illegal version of Cribs. Do you remember in the early 80s, kind of in the VHS days and the first days of like home video cameras and recorders? They were cost like $2,000 and they rest on your shoulder, but you had a, you know, when you stick a huge VHS tape in the camera, VHS tape is 3 times the size of an iPhone.
Yeah.
that's just the tape to go in the camera that, you know.
Oh, sure.
Ridiculous. Oh, 400 lines of resolution? My God. So these kids, remember in the 80s, kids used to break into houses that were in development, whole huge development, and wreck them all on camera, breaking mirrors and toilets and fixtures and lights and just wrecking holes through walls, shooting themselves, doing this, trophy tape. And eventually would get found and they'd all be identified on the freaking thing and would all get busted.
Well, yeah, yeah, I guess these kids or this girl got busted because she was posting on Facebook, like, you know, her wearing fancy furs and Louis Vuitton bags or whatever. And somehow, like, I don't know, she got busted. And that's how she got busted, was via Facebook, because she was posting pictures of herself with the loot.
Well, for those that aren't savvy to the TwitPic fiasco that happened, geolocation and GPS tagging, and, you know, you go to take a picture on your iPhone and it says, do you want to use, you know, that location awareness? You want that on or off? Okay, on, fine. All right. Yeah, every time you take a picture, it tags GPS, and it's got fucking latitude, longitude to within probably...
That's how they were finding out where
so
Paris Hilton was.
You see a celebrity, and they're like, oh, beautiful flowers on my living room table. And they take this picture and they upload it. And you go and you use your Mac and you go hit preview and you go hit info. And you open it up and there's a goddamn map with a red dot right over where the fuck the picture was taken. So you know off of which lane, which street, up which Hollywood Hills road these people live. Exactly.
Yep.
Where they then, like, watching Twitter... And, oh, it's a pic, and it's a club out in, like, Lawndale. So they're like, shit, they're not in town. Let's go break into their house.
Well, if you
who goes to clubs in Lawndale?
There's clubs in Lawndale?
There's a meth lab in Lawndale.
Meth lab in Lawndale.
Is that the club, actually?
Oh, yeah. Anyways, I found it been interesting, to... and I'm looking forward to seeing that movie, because I think that I deal with a lot of people of that age, and they drive me crazy, and I feel really old next to them. And I just kind of, I'm a product of the 80s as well. And I just feel really grateful not to grow up in an age with cell phones and texting and sexting and whatever else they do. And we had some sort of, like, privacy. And these kids have hard times recreating themselves and reinventing themselves these days, because from the moment they could use the computer, they're on Facebook posting pictures of themselves and their idealisms and, you know. And
they just, am I pretty?
Yeah, you're pretty good looking.
Am I pretty?
Am I ugly?
No.
Yeah, I can't even watch those videos. I feel really sad for kids today. They don't, you know.
Their brains have got to be wired differently because, you know, I had books and books. And I was 80, I was 16. It was 1986 before I had a computer that could go on telephone lines and talk to another computer. So 16. And that was, you're reading black and white text. Maybe someone made a really cool, like, Ultima 2 logo. That was it. And now it's ridiculous how much, you know, blipverts are being crammed down people's heads in phone, internet, TV. You don't even need to watch TV. It's worse on internet. It's worse on your phone.
Well, look at video games. I mean, you know, I remember playing Atari Baseball where the baseball players were stick figures. It was like 9 tees playing against each other. Now it's like you're controlling an actual game.
You can play a season where each day you only play one game and you have to wait until the next day.
Yeah.
Play the next day in the season. Back in the day with the Sega, to do that we would have to leave it on. You couldn't turn the Sega off, so I had a separate TV and a little TV with just the Sega hooked up to that. And we had the season going perpetually. So whenever someone came over, we'd play the next game of the season. You couldn't save it.
I just played Madden 2012 the other day. And it's so realistic.
Looks like a game.
I mean, it looks like you're controlling actual players. And
so my point is these kids are learning how to use their phones, how to use these PlayStation controllers, Xbox controllers, so that when they launch our over 30-year-old bodies into the sky while we're running, Logan's Run, they can shoot us accurately in high definition and in 3D.
Oh, yeah, and Blu-ray.
The revolution will be televised in 3D.
Wake up, people.
No, these kids are totally, they've been chipped early. The thumbprints for their food and school and they're totally monitored. Their driver's licenses will be real IDs with like RFID and chips in them and shit like that. That's crazy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what society's like once they become like our age, and what those kids will be like. I feel like they're also selfish too, but that's a whole other genre.
You can do anything.
Yeah, and they're all very special, and you know. Anyways, well, you guys are doing awesome. The show is really interesting and fun to listen to, and I just wanted to call and share my thoughts.
I don't know whether your PhD is in psychology, criminal behavior, or just straight up criminology, but
you're psychic.
You're very well spoken and seem oddly informed on this Bling Ring. So we look forward to having you back on, and thanks for your input. That was salacious. That was juicy. That was the best gossip I've heard in a long ass time. Shared with you right here on the call sheet by our...
I know a person that's working on the movie. This is how I got the gossip.
Sneaky.
So there you go. When I get more, I'll call you.
Please do, if you can cast me as creepy security guy, maybe.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in. Wow.
She was a fan of the Bling Ring.
I've got powerful people in influential places.
Yeah, that was very Matt Drudge-like. She's like a female Matt Drudge.
Boom, dropped a dime on that. And that story had gone from my brain, kind of like Kesha. I hadn't thought of the burglar bunch or the Bling Ring in a while. And I'd never heard that motive before. I thought it was just rip them off, not see how the stars live. Let's go try on their clothes. Let's go take pictures. Let's turn on their TV and dance around to their own single.
And now they have a show. Isn't that crazy? They're getting paid because they were criminals.
Well, we have a California law. You can't. There's like victims in your crime. You can't make money off of it.
Oh, so
you can't do the book.
OJ won't get his sitcom after. I'd watch that. OJ, he was good in Naked Gun.
Yeah, he's untouchable right now. You can't, obviously. I mean, but who's the one that's going to say, "Yeah, let's bring him on"? We got a cooking show. We have 5 minutes. It's OJ's corner.
Someone would. Go for it. Guarantee it. If they could. Work out a deal with the Vegas prison system where OJ...
How many years is he doing?
I think at least 15.
He's under a dark hole somewhere because nobody has heard from him. He ain't doing no press conferences. We have a caller. Quick Bon Mott, what you got?
Hey, this is Nate in L.A.
Hey, Nate. Thanks for calling in. How's it going?
How's it going? What's up, bro?
Hey, how are you, man?
Chilling, just checking out the show. Just got off my long ass work day and caught just a little bit of that last conversation. It was pretty interesting.
Are you one of the burglar bunch?
No, you know, from I check you out on Sports Radio. You know.
Oh, hey, stuff. What's happening, man? I mean, there's more than one Nate in L.A.
Nate Dog,
Nate Burleson. Nate Flowers, my neighbor.
Nady Flowers?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of Nates.
The Nate with that wicked scar.
Just a few.
Yeah. So what's happening, man?
Just hanging, man. Just spending long hours searching through films and cleaning them.
What kind of films?
Cleaning films digitally. That's what I do.
Cleaning films digitally. What sources are you working with? Like old, do you got the raw 35 millimeter print there? Are you looking at like a studio master?
Oh yeah, it's getting transferred 35 millimeter. It's getting scanned in, big ass files, turned into 2K and 4K. Taking stuff from the past, turning into the future product, and then we're just remastering everything so they could have a clean master.
You ever do adult films?
Process.
Yeah, we're going to get some of the classic adult films cleaned up, digitized.
Because I'm really,
you got to laugh at a date.
I'm really waiting for
They spent those budgets in their coke and everything else. I don't think they're going to be doing any of that.
Because I'd really like a clean version.
Era of films are you working with mostly?
Right now, the early 30s.
Wow, they're going.
Yeah.
They're, wow, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, they're putting in a lot of time and hours on it, and so fucking eyes about to pop out after you sit there for 12 hours. Excuse me, I don't know if I was allowed to swear on here, so forgive me.
You can say whatever the fuck you like. Did you see them release the tons of footage from? I want to say late 30s, maybe 40s. It was studio footage that had been in their archives. It was all background plate footage, and it was all shot in L.A., like around Hill Street.
So it was like a lot of neighborhood areas and stuff like that?
Yeah, and tons of moving, tons of plate shots from the left, from the front, from the rear. And so you see whole neighborhoods recreated, and I think it's on that like internet archive. There's a great place for public domain stuff.
I would definitely like to see that. I like when I run across parts of the, you know, LA or you know, just something, you know, you're like, oh, wait a second. Like, I've seen something recently. It was where the El Rey Theater is, and it looks so different. It must have been in the 50s, I think. And but the El Rey was there, and there was Dupars, and there was old Bank of America sign, and something else. But yeah, those are. It's neat to see that, you know, like not your regular familiar places that we've seen, but like some of your offbeat places, you know, and then to what it is now, you know, it's really interesting. Big difference.
I think you can see the El Rey Theater and Rats video for Way Cool Junior. A little obscure trivia there.
Have you guys been to the El Rey before?
I did it.
I drive by the El Rey all the time. I don't think I've ever seen a show in the El Rey, no.
I did a comedy show there to help re-elect Obama. And, not to help to elect Obama, I'm sorry, like 08. And,
I'm like, whoa, we're in the future, I think.
I tell you, it was it was a tough show.
Bank shot.
That's a cool place. I went there for, it was KRS. And like a few other guys, Karis won, Big Daddy Kane was there, and they were doing like a video or something like that. But it was a neat place.
Oh, it's beautiful inside. Very, I think they tried to keep the original, as much of it intact as they could. It's just a beautiful, like a theater type. With the little
another cool theater is the Los Angeles Theater downtown. If you guys ever get, I think that's pretty much there for shoots now, but I got to go in that place. It's amazing.
I don't really go to see too many movies downtown.
No. It's I mean, it's like,
it's an old movie house that's used for events.
Yeah, exactly. But it's awesome in there. You know, I actually did a video, was one of Justin Timberlake's videos was done in there. One of his, it was like that slow one or whatever, but I recognized those and I was like, wow, it's got a really 20s kind of look, you know, that real old, elegant type look in there. It's pretty neat.
I also think the Houston 500 gangbang was filmed there.
Probably. It has some dank smell in there, let me tell you. Yeah,
they needed a sizable space.
Oh, the Mayan, that's right. I was thinking of the Bodyguard, but they shot that at the Mayan downtown.
Oh, the Mayan, yeah. That's another cool
The inside
spot.
Is pretty distinctive.
Yeah.
Mulholland Drive, they did there.
I saw Motley Crue there.
Pantages as well. They shot Mulholland Drive. Oh, that's where that is.
That
part? At Silencio.
That's
Theater
a crazy
Silencio.
Movie, man. I love that movie.
I think I figured it out. I did. I think I figured out Mulholland Drive. It took me pages of essays to read and people's, you know, have timelines and charts and graphs and finally some interviews with Lynch, and I think I figured out Mulholland Drive. So, there.
Hey, I mean, I still haven't wrapped my head around it, but I'm a pretty stupid guy. So.
I could only make it through halfway of Inland Empire and it fried my brain. Inland Empire was too much movie for me. It truly is cursed. But Mulholland Drive, finally I was able to make something make sense, but I think that's...
I kind of thought I did at points, but then I just go, okay.
I love it when he's overt, when the cowboy comes up. He's like, if you see me, this many times. I just love when they're like telling you stuff and then not sure if they follow through or they do. And the Mulholland Drive, great. That took me forever to crack, but I do finally have something that does rest in my brain and I can make sense of it.
I mean, I'm the same way with American Psycho. I've seen it.
Oh, that's a great one.
Probably 75 times.
American Psycho only put the whole thing is something as suspect for me for a narrator that's being reliable. I don't know what I can believe about American Psycho at all. So I do have a lot of fun with American Psycho.
But I still, this
disturbs people.
They don't know if he did the murders or he imagined it.
You know who was casted actually originally for that?
DiCaprio, right?
DiCaprio, yeah.
But I think it's Christian Bale's best work ever. He just really, you could tell he really immersed himself in that role, from the working out to just the overall creepy vibe.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's definitely one of those movies.
I heard Jim J. Bullock was the second choice, but he had a too close for comfort movie he had to get to.
The Too Close for Comfort movie, pulling the references out of your butt.
Dude, that's a little...
Hey,
there's not a field for that, left or right. That's just out of field somewhere.
That's out in the third base foul pole. I won't say what I did as a kid.
That came from the hot dog stand by the Dodger dog.
Right. Well, you know, listen, speaking of video games real fast, I played baseball today on the computer. So realistic. Two fans got killed in the Dodger parking lot after the game.
Yeah.
Hey,
that's awful. Those poor people suffered, and all because they didn't change the light bulbs in the parking lot.
Well, that's because
that parking lot, I've been saying it for a while. It's just so suspect up there.
You know, I don't know. Was it an Angelino that was beat down, by the way?
San Francisco guy.
Was it a San Francisco guy?
Yeah.
Was he flying the Frisco colors, or was he flying Dodger blue?
Yeah, he was proudly flying it, and there's even some, I've heard some word that maybe,
it's never happened. I've gone to,
but he was kind of drumming it up, I hear.
Well, TMZ, and only TMZ would have a video of this. They had video clip of him kind of talking trash to Dodger fans. I'm not saying that means he deserved to get,
Absolutely.
Halfway killed.
Well, a minute to go to the end of the show. Nate, you're going to ride on down into the water on this boat with us all. Great call. And I'm fascinated by your work, although you say it may be tedious and eye-blurring at times. It's important work, Nate.
Yeah,
I need you to keep it up.
Thank
counting
you.
On you. If you run across any my grandfather's films, any Jackie Coogan stuff, freaking give me a call, man, because that's...
Yeah, thanks for calling,
right on,
bro.
We
got a lot of lost stuff, and we'd love to see it digitized, dawned up. Started doing talkies around then. Thanks for...
Awesome, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your call, and good, great... I love the references. People call in and always be a movie, a show that I, just plumb is not in the memory banks anymore. So thanks for keeping that stuff alive.
Yeah, thanks, Nate.
Thanks, Nate. And thanks, everybody else, for calling in. Nate, have a great night. Everybody else, thank you so much for listening to The Call Sheet. Earl, thanks for coming down.
Thank you, Keith.
Everyone, take care.